This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Can you hear the klaxon? I can hear the klaxon. It is emergency podcast time. Welcome, everybody. We have hastily convened this one because Ipswich Town have been sold and are under new ownership. This was announced at 11 a.m. today. It has happened. The Marcus Evans era is over. First things first, we'll go into details in a minute. And let us know in the chat, answer this question as well, that Craig and Joe are about to answer. Guys, what is your reaction? How do you feel, Joseph D. Fares III?
Yeah, relieved. It just feels like a cloud has been lifted off the club. And like I say, I've not been one that has been hugely anti-Marcus Evans as an owner, because I think he's done the right thing by the club a number of times. I just think he's been incompetent as opposed to disastrous. But it's clear that we've been going in the wrong direction for a long time, and it's clear the only way we're going to change as a club is if the manager is so good that he can run the whole club himself, which is a huge ask in this day and age, or we get an owner in or an ownership group in who run the club properly on a day-to-day basis.
Here's some reactions coming in, guys. Emotional and optimistic. Over the moon. I feel more excited than when we signed Kevin Callahan there. Sarcasm does transmit there, Nick. Nice job. Anybody else? Andy, excited for the first time in years about our once great football club. Craig, keep your reactions coming in, guys, in the chat. We're going to be here, we think, for the next hour or so. Craig, how do you feel about this change, first of all?
Well, I just saw someone else, I think Rob had put in the chat, cautiously optimistic, I think is probably how we want to go about it, isn't it? You know, we've all sort of been here before and people were waving pound notes, I was about to say then. No, maybe not pound notes, maybe £5 notes at Carrow Road, because we all thought that Evans was going to be the new messiah and pump all the money that was required in. And in the end, his tenure sort of turned out like my hastily put together flag here with my bulldog clip and pencil and staples and ink, which is running out of the printer sort of thing. So, yeah, I think as Joe sort of alluded to, we just need to get, and as we all sort of know, we just need to get a structure in place, don't we? We need to step away from the one man in charge, everything goes through one guy to sign everything off, from bloody dishcloths and glass washers up to £1.5 million non-goal scoring strikers and everything in between. So if these guys can get in a structure, and you know the words that they've come out with are good, you know they're experts in commerce and marketing, and you know the new chairman has already been CEO of a Premier League stroke championship club, so you know they know their way around football and administration. You know, we just need to hope that, you know, actions are speaking as loud as their words.
We're going to get into the statement. So, Joe, we've got a three form, not free form like jazz, but a three kind of part statement. before we get to that, and again, I'm going to put this to the chat. Please, guys, in the chat, brilliant stuff coming down there. It's literally, we're trying to watch it as it all comes in. In the chat, please, your take home of the Marcus Evans era. Joe, for me, it feels like Evans arrived at a time when wealth made a difference in the championship. He then made, as you've said quite accurately before, some hapless operational decisions, and the wealth didn't make a difference. It felt like there was a key turning point, 2014-15, parachute payment shrunk from 4 years to 3 years, FFP, 13 million a year, rolling losses. And all of a sudden, Evans thought, I can't push this anymore, and we're here where we are. Do you agree with that, Joe? And what's your kind of take home? Keep them coming in the chat, guys. Take home of the Marcus Evans era. 13 years, Joe.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I remember the excitement when he came in, the Norwich away game where we were all waving our £20 notes, I think they were, Craig, not fives. We were flush at that time, but it was just, there was so much optimism about it at the time. And I remember there was a figure that was put about of £12 million, of a £12 million investment into the playing squad for transfers. And that seemed such a huge amount of money in the championship at the time. And like, Jim and Jilton spent a lot of it. Roy Keane spent a lot of it. And you were talking big deals at the time, sort of £2-3 million. But like you say, by 2014-15, players like Ross McCormack were going for 11, 12, 13 million pounds. And so what had been seen as a huge investment was not enough to get you one top end player at that time by the end of it. So it just didn't work for him. We missed that opportunity. He backed Roy Keane too heavily in hindsight, and I'm sure he regrets that. And he just never got it right, sort of on or off the pitch. And it wasn't until Mick McCarthy came in and sort of tightened everything up from top to bottom and became a real lightning rod for the criticism to Marcus Evans that we actually looked a decent championship side, a side that looked like they were going to go up for more than just a few games here or there. And that was ultimately the time when the investment had been cut. And I think that sort of gave Evans the wrong idea that you could just keep cutting and Mick could keep pulling out a Tyrone Mings for 10,000 and selling him for 8 million. And then rather than giving him a couple of million to spend out of that, you were spending 300 grand on Jonas Knudsen and turned him into a World Cup playing international. And I think Evans just got the wrong idea of what could be successful. And it's just, you look at a team like Brentford who sort of got into the playoffs in 2014-15, they were selling players for 5, 6 million and they were investing 2, 3 million. We never did the investing side of the other one. We just kept looking for, and to be fair, we found Adam Webster for
a few hundred thousand
and sold him for millions.
We were just that stage below, weren't we? One step below what Brentford were doing, weren't we? We were doing the one step further back than what Brentford were doing. We were buying for 800,000 and selling for 3 million rather than buying for 3 million and selling for
Craig, we mentioned specifically on the pod that the Brentford player of the year ends up being passed on to Ipswich as they're being relegated, the Brentford Player of the Year from 2014, whilst they're selling side Benrahma, Ollie Watkins, Ezri Konsa, Chris Meppham, blah, blah, blah. Craig, it just felt like the paint-by-numbers approach, bring in Roy Keane, huge name, championship promotion, bring in Paul Jewell, two championship promotions, bring in Mick McCarthy, two championship promotions as well. It just felt like the paint by numbers, experienced manager plus a bit of financial muscle just ran its course in the end. Craig, give me your, before we go to the statements, give me your take home of the 13 years of Evans, if you can do that.
Yeah, well, let's say it's pretty much the same as Joe in that, you know, initially, and it was just that window, wasn't it? That window that he had where we missed the boat, you know, that Keane really was our one hit at it. After that, it sort of, as you say, it was more a case of cookie cutter. Right, we need a British stroke Irish manager who's previously won a promotion from the division that we're in. And if he's out of work, all the better. And things just got too rich for him, didn't they? But by the same token, he'd stuck to his guns and didn't gamble. You know, other clubs did gamble and have fallen by the wayside and still find themselves in trouble, don't they? Whereas he didn't. And for whatever you say about Evans, and we all know that, you know, the ground's a mess and you know, behind the scenes, things are cut to the bone. Bills were still getting paid each month and players were still getting paid each month. And, you know, the guy was writing off checks for God knows how many million, and it must have pleased him spectacularly to be doing so for underperforming players each month. So, you know, let's berate him for everything that he did do wrong and, you know, in our minds could have done better. But by the same token, let's not completely, you know, disregard what he did do in terms of keeping things ticking over, if not necessarily how we'd all want them to be ticked over. I think things just got too rich for him, didn't they, in the end?
It's not binary, is it, Craig? A number of things you've said are all true and not contradictory and not binary. Do you know what I mean? Yes, it got too rich for him. Yes, the parachutes and the FFP thing made it hard. Yes, he made hapless operational decisions. Yes, he did pay that 6 million quid a year and it didn't make a difference in the end. Right, guys, keep your comments
just
coming
in. Craig's point there as well about Evans. He did turn down bids for players even this season, whether you think they were the right decisions or not. Caden Jackson, we had money on the table for. Flynn Downs, we had money on the table for. Luke Wolfenden, a lot of interest. Andre Dizel, a lot of interest previously. He was able to retain our players, and most teams at this level just simply cannot do that, especially in the COVID times we've had. So he's allowed the new owners to come in and the new manager to come in with a better squad to look at least, rather than selling any piece of the family silver out there. So there's a lot to be thankful for, but ultimately he just couldn't get it right. And all the money in the world, if you're not making the right decisions, is not going to make a difference.
Great. Right, let's move on. We're going to have a look at the statements. Now, there's a lot to say here, guys. So I guess the best thing is we'll just go through little by little. I don't think I need to dwell here on Evans' three boxes that he wanted ticked, because we know about that. So I'm just going to move on now. The first thing, I'm just going to read from here. I don't want to go in exhaustive detail, and we want you to keep your comments coming in. We will go to just Q&A. We don't know how long we're going to go for here, but we will go for a Q&A when we've done this. So do hang around, guys, and keep the interaction coming while you're here as well. Please hit the subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. Hit the like button. It'll bring more people and have your opinion and share your thoughts and your knowledge here. So following several months of detailed due diligence by both parties, not sure about this, to ensure there will be a, quote, marriage made in heaven, an agreement approved by the EFL was signed today, and Evans is satisfied his three conditions has been met. A new company, Game Changer 20, has been formed specifically to purchase the club. So there's a lot of structural stuff here. As part of the transaction, a portion of the historic debt has been written off. I will be the first to say here, we don't know numbers. We're not going to speculate. Unless you can show me the contract and tell me you've read it and understood it, we're not going to speculate on numbers and what debt's been done. We don't know. We're not that kind of podcast. We won't blag it, okay? As part of the transaction, we've done that. So the new ultimate beneficial owner of the club is US investment fund ORG, which manages the funds of a large US pension fund. This is, again, all structural stuff. Here is the juicy stuff, though. So GC20 through the Three Lions Fund, which is managed by three Americans, Brett Johnson, excuse my pronunciation here, Burke Bakke and Mark Detmer will jointly own 5% of GC20. These three individuals, along with Chairman Mike O'Leary, new Ipswich Chairman Mike O'Leary, Craig's already mentioned him, CEO at West Brom, blah, blah, blah. And Marcus Evans will also own 5%. Let's just drill in. Craig, structurally, big US investment fund linked to pensions. Again, I'm not going to come on here and pretend I'm some expert on, you know, I've watched a few episodes of Billions, but that's about it where it comes from. Big hedge funds and things of that nature. So I'm not going to pretend I'm sure Kieran Maguire and on Price of Football will do a great job on this, and Matt Slater as well already has done. What's your thoughts on the structural stuff? Evans retains 5% of Game Changer. We don't know what he's written off. And the three US guys come in with Mike O'Leary as the new chairman, Craig.
Yeah, and also there's a vacancy for a CEO, isn't there? A UK-based CEO who will
presumably work. You're putting yourself up. Fans.
Yeah, you're putting yourself up for the job, Craig.
Well, some of us are already shareholders, mate. You know, let's not forget that some of us were back in the club to the tune of about £200. You know, when things were getting very very dodgy. So some of us know when to speculate and to accumulate, you know, and we can spot
the best
a good
I can hold up is a bloody one. Yankee candle, but it's Yankee.
What's it smell of?
Oh, it smells lovely. Craig, your thoughts on the restructure?
Yeah, as I say, so yeah, anything that has a day-to-day running of the business by a CEO or whatever the title ends up being is a good thing. These guys, as we know, you know, as people have probably already done some research into Brett Johnson and the other two gents, is they're already involved in football. They're involved. They've seemed to have completely transformed what was Arizona is now Phoenix Rising over in the US, both in terms of the team and in terms of the infrastructure surrounding it. You know, new ground. I'm not saying we're getting a new ground crust. Let's not go across that. But just in terms of getting things structurally sound and structurally set up. As you say, Ben, we don't know about details about debt and how much is passing over, et cetera, et cetera. As I said at the beginning, as Rob said in the chat, cautiously optimistic that, you know, they're going the right way about it. And I think Evan said in his statement, didn't he, that, you know, by nature of pension funds, they're looking to not only, well, they need to be fiscally responsible, I think he said, but they need a return on their investment. And the only way they're going to get a return on their investment is through success of the football club.
Joe, on the structure, please.
Yeah, one thing that leapt out at me is when I kept reading ORG, I just kept thinking of the OCG on Line of Duty. So whether it's the organised crime gang taking us over, but no, just more seriously, we've got a chairman in, and I know that there's always this talk about football men, a football man. This is a guy who's been a chief executive of a yo-yo club. When West Brom were always known as a very well-run club at that time, sort of in the community and sort of on the pitch, they had a lot of success there. I know they sort of, and then they've ended up nailing down a place in the Premier League for a number of years. So it's good to have him in there. There's talk that there's a vacancy for a CEO. It's a Bristol City guy was mentioned on TWTD as well as their commercial director. The sort of statement
Mark
has
Ashton.
Said that there's Mark Ashton. Yeah. The statement has said that there's going to be investment in the playing fund and the infrastructure. Americans are very, sort of American businessmen are very commercial. You only have to look at the ones that have taken over clubs in this country. And obviously Man United are the biggest example of that. The Glazers came in on a leveraged buyout and they have just not rinsed the club, but they've got a noodle sponsor in Singapore, a tire sponsor in North
a
Korea.
Yankee Candle and sponsor.
Things like that. They know
American
how to sweat
fried
the assets.
Chicken sponsor.
Yeah, we're getting on that.
Continue.
They know how to sweat the assets of a football club and actually bring it into the 21st century. Like Craig was saying there, and he said previously about glass washer replacement needing to be signed off by Marcus Evans. I think anyone who's close to anyone at the club knows these stories exist where Evans has kept such a tight rein on the finances, but also not been available to make the decisions. And we need somebody to run it, and it looks like we've got people with good experience in the game who know what they're doing. And sort of Nick Ames, and between Nick Ames and Matt Slater, they're talking of a fee of £30 million to £40 million for the club, somewhere in that region. And that's big money for a League One club. It's a huge investment. This isn't something that they've just picked up on the cheap and are hoping to flip for a profit. Because if that's the figures they've paid, and sort of those two respected journalists are saying that's what it is, two people have been all over the story are saying that, then this is a long-term investment for them. And the only way they are going to have a return on their investment is to get us into the Premier League.
Premier League, broadcast money or parachute money. The only way we're going to get into
the Premier League is by investing and doing the right things, making the right decisions. It's not going to turn around overnight. They're not going to come in and throw 10, 20 million at things in the next two summers, but they are going to have to get things right on the pitch. They're going to have to make sure that we buy the right players, we sell the right players at the right times, and as a football club, we make money. And it's an exciting time to be a fan. But obviously, caveat that things can go wrong. But we look just instantly a more modern club. We look like a club in 2021 rather than 1981, but that's not probably the year that Ipswich fans want to think about.
Pick any other year other than that one.
Yeah, but we've been run like a club sort of from the 90s, where the manager just has all the power. The academy tries to do its own thing, but there's not been one consistent voice at the top of it. And when it has been, it's been someone like Leo Neill, who has just been spread too thinly and isn't given the tools to do the job that he needs to. And it's just, you need to invest to succeed. And you're talking about investing in staff off the pitch as well. You can't just cut and cut and cut.
Let's have a look. Sorry, Ben. As Joe was saying there, though, and if these guys are just purely buying the club for 30, 40 million, plus taking on a proportion of the debt, and then looking for return on their investment, you know, they're going to need to invest over and above the 40 million they've already bought the club for, plus a little bit of debt, wherever it happens to be. Cross the mic, they're going to have to invest. What the only way they're ever going to get a return on investment, it's not even going to be Championship and flip it, is it? Because you're not going to get minimal back for a Championship club with the debt after you paid for it. It's going to have to be Premier League to get any sort of return on that investment.
Right. Here is the words. So this was the remaining part of the statement on the Ipswich website here today. So this is more new information. We've obviously heard from Evans over the last decade or more. Right. Statement from Game Changer. We want first our remarks on the completion of this takeover to be words of thanks to Marcus Evans. We've been discussing this sale with him for more than a year. And throughout the negotiations, his love for the club has shone through. He's a true supporter of all of us, Game Changer, and extremely grateful. Marcus has invested considerable time and money, blah, 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 all stuff you'd expect there. Mike O'Leary has previous board-level expertise in the UK football industry. We've mentioned all of that. So you wouldn't expect anything other than, oh, shake hands, nice things said. Now, let me read the bit from the Three Lions. The Three Lions are part of an ownership group of the American team Phoenix Rising, which plays in the USL Championship Division. Brett Johnson said, "We are humbled and excited to be investing in Ipswich Town, one of the finest clubs in the history of English football. We are proud of our success on and off the pitch at Phoenix Rising and are committed to restoring ITFC to its former glory. To this end, and the first priority is promotion to the Championship, and the management team will be given additional funds to strengthen the playoff squad. The Three Lions have considerable experience in commerce and marketing, medium-term plan to increase revenue at the club, but the short-term priority has to be the playing zone. We're committed to improving that all the way. The board of Game Changer 20 will comprise Mike O'Leary, Ed Schwartz, Brett Johnson, Bert Backay and Mark Detmer, and of course Marcus Evans with his 5% of that probably doesn't get you a seat on the board, does it? They will be joined by a UK-based CEO, an appointment that is hoped will be made shortly. I know we're kind of overlapping things we've said already, Craig, but what are your thoughts on the actual words now from the new ownership group?
Well, it's all positive, isn't it? You know, these guys know what to say, you know. And to be fair, if you look up Phoenix Rising, you know, just do a bit of investigation into them and their fans, pretty much to a man, I haven't seen any negative stories or negative comments on social media about Brett Johnson and their ownership of their particular club. And you've got, it's Johnson, Backeye and Detmer are the three co-owners, aren't they, of Phoenix Rising. You know, none of them have got a bad word to say about them. They say the right things. They're investing in the right places. As I said before, you know, they've turned that club around, albeit on a much lower level. They've turned that club around and seem to be making all the right decisions at the right times. The additional chap, Ed Schwartz, I think is another investor, is a portfolio manager, I think, who's more recently come on board. So, yeah, again, just positive vibe, but again, proof is in the pudding, isn't it? You know, let's say actions and words. Let's hope they're as loud as each other.
Joe.
Yep, just same as Craig, really. It's it's what you want to be hearing, but ultimately any new owner coming into the club, if fans can't be excited by it and excited by their vision, then there's something wrong, because if they were coming in saying, oh, well, we want to consolidate in League One and this is the future for us and cut the cost and get rid of the academy, I think we'd be going there. But it's what we want and what we need, isn't it? It's the investment and the expertise and the, like I say, the fact that they've brought in people with experience of the English game, and I'm sure the CEO, when appointed, will be somebody with experience within the English game. So they're already making smarter recruitment decisions off the pitch than Marcus Evans did in his sort of 13-year tenure, where our first chief executive was the former head of the British Olympic Association.
Wonder why he was appointed.
Allegedly. Right, guys, please, we've covered the statement. We've given our initial thoughts. Please get your questions in, and we'll take some questions for Joe and Craig on the chat right now. Joe, medium term, and I'm talking as in we don't expect this playing squad to be in the playoffs or win the playoffs. How does a potential upturn, and Joe has already very sensibly mentioned, we are aware that things do not always get better, and there is obviously the possibility that things could get worse, but how does this takeover in the next 18 months kind of manifest itself in ways that you or I know you're a little bit more in the know than me, but you or I as fans can, tangibly feel?
Well, I think obviously Paul Cook, there was talk previously that Paul Cook had met the new investors at the time of his appointment, that he knew exactly what was going on. And I'm sure that is the case. You don't have to read too far between the lines in Marcus Evans' statement to know that they're going to back Paul Cook. Ultimately, what we need to see in the summer, there's going to be a huge clear out because there's 32 players out of contract in the summer. And I can't see more than 8 or 9 of those being retained, whatever was happening with Evans or the game changer ownership. So it's just a case of making sure the first thing we need is that on that first day of pre-season, when the players come back, Paul Cook has got his signings in place on that first day of pre-season. We're not getting to the start of the season and trying to get deals over the line. We need to go out there with intent to get people in and make sure that we get them in quickly. I don't think there'll be a need to make a huge amount of fees or big signings like that. It's going to be wage investments that are the key in this one.
Don't want Will Grigg for £4 million.
No, we don't want Will Grigg on transfer deadline dad for £4 million. So you've got that there. As a fan, I just think it's maybe just polishing up the stadium a little bit. I'm not talking about painting the turnstiles, but just trying to make it a place to be proud of again, where, like I say, you look at the stadium and it's so tired in so many places. And
Joe, that's infrastructure. That's infrastructure. Good money in FFP terms as well, isn't it?
Yep. And that side and the academy side of it, like I say, a push for Category 1 maybe. I don't know. I don't think that'll be coming anytime soon, but at some point we need to be looking to go back down that line. Just raising the voice and raising the profile of the community of Ipswich Town, engaging with the public, the fans, and actually sort of having a two-way conversation between people. And because I think that a lot of stuff we do get right. Like, I think the retail side of the club is quite good. Planet Blue do a good job. There's some sort of good quality products there. They run the Twitter feeds well, but it's always just a case of everything is just done. Everyone is spread too thinly about. So you've got the media guys who have to do every little part of the job, and where just getting a little bit of help for everyone in there so that things just don't feel like they're cut back to the bone.
Craig, I was just thinking as Joe was answering, please keep your questions coming in, guys. We're going there next, I absolutely promise. What does this do psychology-wise in terms of Paul Cook and the current players? Now, takeover done. How does Paul Cook use this? Do you understand what I'm asking you, Craig? Go ahead.
You could be part of this if you buck your bloody ideas up over the next month or so, sort of thing. I think that ship's already sailed, to be perfectly honest with you. I think Cook knows who he wants. You know, he's pretty much reading between the lines, what Cook says after every match at the moment is he knows exactly what he's seeing, the same as what we're seeing. I'm sure he's made his mind up. I can't imagine these guys are going to change his mind over the course of the next two or three matches to say, do you know what, you're more than happy. So I'm more than happy to give you guys a 2-year deal, because as Joe says, in the summer, I can't imagine we'll be paying big fees. You don't need to be paying big fees.
No one's paying big fees this summer, Greg.
No, exactly that. You know, there are enough players out there. What it may allow you to do is obviously just to cherry pick a slightly better standard of freer transfer or a lower league player. But what it may also permit Cook to do, and it remains to be seen, is nullifying contracts which still do have time to run on them, to allow you just to have a more condensed squad. You know, if you've got guys who've still got a year on their contract after this summer, but you don't fancy them at all, well, if no one's going to buy them, it might allow you just to pay them off, to get them out of the squad, just to give you that nucleus of a more condensed, manageable squad of 18, 20 rather than four dozen.
Let's go to some questions. This is from Paul, Joe. Talk to me about Lee O'Neill, who is he sporting director, or I don't know, or he
director
does
operations.
Is he dead man walking now, with the greatest respect to him, just trying to earn a living?
I think he's going to be either due a pay cut or a change of role, because I don't think he's going to be
the old
doing
reclassification,
as,
Joe.
Yeah, as big a role as he's been doing, and maybe he'll be happy with that, but he was the academy manager for ECCP purposes, or he is the academy manager, and we need an academy manager. Brian Clough doesn't want to or isn't able to do the job with regards to the amount of administration and sort of extra work it entails. And I'd be very surprised if he leaves the club, is forced out of the club, but because why would you not just say you need to go back to the academy role, but your pay needs to go from X down to Y, because your pay has gone from Y up to X because you took on the extra roles. But
he was just the latest in the line of what, three who were out of his depth, not qualified for the role that they were on paper in, weren't they? You know, he was a puppet. I don't want to say that's disrespectful, but he had no sway or no say or no final decision on anything. You know, he was telling us 4 weeks ago that there was no offers on the table for the club, and a little bit before that he was telling us that Lambert wasn't going anywhere, and you know, within days of that Lambert
due diligence has been going on for a year, apparently. We just said.
I know, I appreciate he's not going to come out and say there is something going on, you know, we're just waiting for the I's to be dotted and the T's to be crossed, but by the same token, he's saying stuff which is patently incorrect. So whether he didn't know or whether, as I say, he's not qualified enough to sort of say in a nuanced way to not say the wrong thing. But it wasn't working, was it? As I say, he's the latest in a line of guys in the same boat. I think what we will see, and as we've spoken about, is a far superior and a far higher level of person in that job role, if not the same title in that job role.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I sort of came back to it. It's more that the person who has been in that role, whether it be Simon Clegg, whether it be Ian Milne, or whether it be Leo Neill, has been expected to be the spokesman for every single thing that comes out of the club. So Leo Neill's the academy manager. From what I understand, he'd been more heavily involved in recruitment. He'd been the one that had been back and forth with James Norwood, sorting that deal out, things like that, getting contracts signed, getting deals over the line. And then all of a sudden, he's being asked about season ticket renewals or the price of the shirts in the club shop, and it's like we've got somebody who's cogent, who can actually string a sentence together and actually stand out there and will give us an interview, and this is our only chance to ask any question that we can. So every single problem with Ipswich Town, whether it's who's going to be the backup left back through to why is the stadium roof
data and recruitment,
becomes their remit, and it's just not right and not the case, and they end up looking stupid because, as Craig says, they say nothing's happening here because they're not allowed to, and then something happens the next day. Or Ian Milne gets asked about why we're not signing this player when he's not a football person at all, or he was at that. So it just became a silly situation, really, and it had been for a long time.
Craig, just I think you might be able to do this with a pretty wide remit. Where on the park do we need to invest? Joe's already alluded to a clear out, so your answer could well be new team rather than tweaking existing. Also, Jules is asking, I assume, about Liam Richardson, the current Wigan manager. New team and a new face in the technical box as well.
Yeah, I think we just need a new core of a team, don't we? A new spine, if you like, but certainly just a new core of 4, 5, 6 different players, different voices to what are currently there. And I'm sure Cook knows which the voices that he wants to have. The Liam Richard one's an interesting one, isn't it, actually, in terms of obviously Wigan have recently been taken over themselves in the last two weeks or so. Is how does he see himself as a manager? Has he enjoyed his experience? Is he going to be allowed to carry on there? I know we spoke about it on the pod at the weekend, in terms of the impact that Cook has had on the squad so far, and not disrespecting anything that Paul Cook's done, fully behind him,
etc.
Christ, no. again, things don't have to be black and white; they can be slightly grey. but it has been a poor. He has had a poor impact on the squad. You can't deny that. The reasons behind it, we don't know. Whether it's lack of the coaching side or lack on the players' perspective from taking things on and running with them. I just hope that he does get Liam Richardson because he's been with him alongside him for all the success that he's had. We don't want another Roy Keane, Ricky Sprazier episode whereby
Ian Culverhouse as well.
Yeah,
we've been
exactly.
Hearing about for the last God knows how long from our.
Yeah, that's right.
And friends.
You just hope that, and there has been rumours that, and it's been from similar people who've had whispers about the takeover, is that, yes, Richardson is coming, without doubt, and also John McGreal's coming along in one respect or another, just to add more different voices into the coaching staff, because, it may be that Cook just wants to completely reset things behind the scenes, not just coaching, but even further back, in terms of, I know the Academy Sports Science guys left recently, isn't he, in the last week or so. So, things are going to change. There'll be a lot of new faces, I think.
We just had a super chat come through, so let me just quickly read that. Thank you very much, Paul. £10 rather than watching iFollow at the moment. Very, very kind, Paul. Thank you very much. You can obviously support via super chat at any point during the show. Thank you very, very much to Paul there. Joe, what does Mullet's asking about US football and America as a whole. We possibly, you've seen Daryl DK go from Orlando on loan to Barnes. He scored 7 goals in 10 games. And it looks like, given the Brexit stuff, that's a market that's opened up recently, and vice versa with loans. What is there any advantages to having US knowledge? And talk to me about a link up with the Phoenix Rising.
I don't think there's any disadvantage to having it. Ultimately, there's the ability to share skills, share expertise, share resource across the clubs, be able to send players there for experience and send them here for experience this way as well. So there can only be advantages to it, but whether that means they are sort of genuine big advantages, I think we'll find out in time. But I don't think this isn't looking like it's part of a multi-club model where the clubs all work with each other. There's a style going out around it. This is very much a separate investment to the other ones, I'd say.
And Chris has just, I think you've just kind of given your views on that, a Citigroup style. We're thinking less than likely. Keep your questions.
I think that's something that could come in time. If they do make a success of things at Ipswich Town, I think that will be something, an avenue that they'll look to go down. They've obviously got interest in sports around the globe. So it's not something that looks like it's happening at the moment, but that's not to say in the future it would.
Let's have a look. Keep your questions coming in. This is Anir, who is known to me, a Bristol City fan, would love us to have Mark Ashton.
As long as you're going to bring in Adam Webster like and turn him round within a season to being, you know, a £20 million.
Well, funnily enough, if you saw Nigel Pearson's interview at the weekend, Craig, he pulled the Paul Hurst after Exeter, which is a reference Ipswich fans will all understand. So that will go one of two ways. Keep your questions coming in, please, guys. We'll go another 15, 20 minutes. We are reacting to the news that Marcus Evans has sold Ipswich Town. The takeover completed at 11 a.m. today, confirmed by Ipswich Town, game changer, and that group are now owners of Ipswich Town. Keep your questions coming in. Kieran Dyer, Craig. Talk a little bit about Dyer, and given that he's been cozied up to by Paul Cook and is a great ex-player from the club, what you expect to happen in that regard?
Well, I'll let Joe carry on. But no, if he was off, I wouldn't imagine he's currently sitting on the first team bench, hasn't he? So I don't think there's anything to be read into that. I think he's well thought of, certainly from a coaching perspective. He's doing a decent job with the under-23s at the moment. And as I say, if Cook's bringing him in to actually, in effect, temporarily promote him onto the first team bench, then you know I can't see that's going to be a problem. But now I'll let Joe carry on.
Yeah, no. From what I hear, everything I've heard about Dyer and Paul Cook is that Paul Cook has rated him as a coach and as a person incredibly highly so far, which is shown by his promotion into the first team set up alongside the under-23s. But Dyer's in a position where apparently he wants to have about 10 players in his under-23 squad next season, so that it allows him to bring up the players from the younger age groups that are excelling, so that there's less of these sort of blockers in pathways of people. Because at the moment, we've probably got about 18, 20 players in an under-23 squad. And I think we've used 64 players in under-23s games this year. So he wants to really streamline that down. And I think that's something that Paul Cook is very, very much on board with.
Joe, we've seen some wink, wink, nudge, nudge from Paul Cook in a couple of the interviews where this has been intimated. But Paul, and again, thank you for the super chat, Paul. How confident are you that the new owners had say in Paul Cook? Can we be as bold as to say now that Cook literally wouldn't be here without the knowledge that this was going to happen?
I don't think so. I think that Paul Cook was both Marcus Evans's man and the new owner's man. So, and like when the appointment was made, we looked at it saying, who are the better candidates out there? And it was really very much Paul Cook and probably first place distance, and maybe Danny Cowley just behind them. So I think that Evans is someone that has targeted Paul Cook for a long time. I know that they've known each other for a long time, and it's no great surprise that he was he was given the job here, whatever was happening. But there is no way on earth that the new owners haven't been a part of that decision to appoint Paul Cook as well.
His name was, it was in the Matt Slater article, wasn't it? You know, pretty much when it was all, when the takeover announcement, or sorry, the takeover story article came out, I'm sure there was a couple of lines in there that, along with it, you know, it was sort of linked, if not directly linked. As Joe said, you know, they're not going to, as the press release says, these conversations have been going on for a year. So Evans is hardly going to have gone off 2 or 3 weeks before everything signed off and go bring in some guy that's going to get the sack by the new chap straight away. So now I'd imagine Paul Cook was well aware that if it wasn't going to be finalised, there was a 99% chance that it was going to happen.
Talk to me about season tickets, Craig, because if I was an advantageous businessman, I'd put them on sale right now.
Yeah, crikey. And I know they've come up with some ruses in the past to get us all to renew our season tickets and invest in the future of the club. I mean, crikey, to pull this one out the bag with a week or so to go is pretty spectacular. Yeah, as I say, I'd imagine that these guys will be leaning heavily on their marketing experience now to ensure that the right messages are given, and that Paul Cook's pushed down in front of the cameras to let everyone know that if not this season, then next season is going to be the one that you want to be coming and supporting and watching, because, you know, things are only going to be going up from here. I think that someone said earlier, forgive me, I couldn't see it in the comments, I didn't see the name, but any investment isn't going to make any shred of difference to this season, you know, this season's squad and this season's performances. It will be next season if we don't happen to get into the playoffs and get into the championship this season. It's going to be this summer and next year are going to be the one that you want to be concentrating on, and probably, yeah. And so I'm sure that the season ticket paraphernalia will be majoring heavily on that.
Can I just stay with you, Craig, because you've done a bit of digging on Brett Johnson. He seems to be the name that, I know he's one of three names, or now four if we add Ed Schwartz into the bargain. ITFC Tweedy, will Brett Johnson and co move across to England, or will they manage from afar? Can you speak, I mean, regardless of their location, can you speak a little bit about what we expect from those guys, or is it going to be a case of they're going to stick a CEO and a chairman in and let them get on with it?
I think the latter. You know, these guys are obviously majoring in getting the finances and the backing, but they will be very much silent partners, certainly in terms of the footballing side of things. You know, they're investors, aren't they? They're not football men as such. What they've got is Mike O'Leary in place and the new CEO to do the footballing side of things and to answer our questions about the football side of things. As I said, in terms of Johnson, as I said earlier, I just tell everyone just to go and have a look, go and do some Googling about Phoenix Rising and Brett Johnson and everything in between. There's plenty of articles out there, and there's plenty of guys and girls on Twitter, who are Phoenix Rising fans, and you can see their thoughts on these guys. You know, they really have got nothing but positive things to say about them. I think we can only go by those particular case studies, can't we? You know, people who've already experienced their involvement in their particular football clubs or soccer clubs, as we should probably call them, and they are just positive at the moment. So I'm sure over time, over the next week or two, we'll hear more directly from the guys in the US. We'll hear more directly from Mike O'Leary in the UK, and over time we'll hear more from the new CEO, if it happens to be Ashton from Ashton Gate. Yeah, go on, sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry, I was just going to dive in. We're going to go about another 10, 15. Keep your questions coming. Just really quickly, if you are in the Ipswich area, we are partnered until the end of the season with Favourite Chicken, favouritechicken.co.uk. Download the app. You can get 20% off your order by entering discount code BM20. That is BM20, favouritechicken.co.uk. It's a very American-sounding dish. And apropos, why not get some from lunch now, Craig? But if you do, BM20. Joe, I might be throwing you under the bus here. because I don't know much about Mike O'Leary. How is Mike O'Leary rated? What I know of West Brom is that it went to Chinese money 3 years ago, just prior to Darren Moore, I think. They certainly had the parachute payments, the Chinese. So is this Jeremy Peace era West Brom and sort of Mowbray, Di Matteo, Pulis Hodgson, those guys? What, do you know much about Mike O'Leary, Joe? And if not, we'll throw to Craig.
I don't know a huge amount, but Mullet has just tweeted something from the WBA journal Chris Lepkowski in there, and they're all complimentary on it. It's just a case that he's... I read some quotes from him this morning, and he was just basically saying about how they didn't... The new owners aren't doing as good a job as they should be. They aren't engaging with the community properly. It's something that they were very keen on. But I don't think he's going to be... He's obviously the chairman, but the chairman isn't someone that is really involved in the day-to-day running of the club. It's a CEO that does that. And I think he was part of the takeover that took Oxford away from their Kassam, the owner there, that was a disaster for Oxford. He was a part of that, but it was very much a case of being a chairman, coming in, yeah, with Ashton, getting in. But yeah. It's the same guys that have effectively gone from West Bromwich Albion, who I think they're always a club that we'd see as a sort of model of a well-run club. Have gone into Oxford, have got Oxford away from Kassam, and then have been at Bristol City. It's a very sort of integrated group of people that have done that. So I think if you look at them, if you look at those clubs over those times, it's just a case people can make, I suppose, their own assumptions as to whether they think they're well run. I know Bristol City fans are on here talking about Ashton especially, but ultimately, you look at where Bristol City have come from and where they've got to now. Joe, it's a massive difference. And the players and that they've sold.
But these guys have to understand what we've currently got. And we don't currently have anything, do we, from a footballing experience perspective. All we've got is what Marcus Evans has picked up over 13 years, which arguably isn't too much. What O'Leary does have is bags of experience within football administration roles, whether they be in the background on a board or as a direct CEO. And if he is going to be chairman, he has got however many years of CEO experience to get in what we would hope to be a correct level CEO for what he wants to do. He's not an idiot. You know, he's been involved in football for a large chunk of his life.
But Craig, you make a really good point in the comparison with Bristol City. We are Bristol City before Steve Cotterill got them out of League One with Aidan Flint. And Steve Lansdowne built the huge, great stand and all the redevelopments there. We're pre that, aren't we? So you make a very good point. And then we've looked at recruitment, and you've mentioned Brentford. Joe mentioned Brentford. I think maybe you did earlier, Craig. But whenever I do my top marks award for recruitments of teams who've never had parachute payments but done the work, I always go Brentford, Bristol City, and then Preston. And we're talking about Bristol City and Joe Bryan, Bobby Reid, Josh Brownhill, Adam Webster, etc. And they've tried to go to the Lloyd Kelly. They've tried to go to the Brentford level and sort of spent the money on Hannah Masengo and Famara Jeju. And now they've sort of just got Tyreek Backinson and Antoine Semenyo. Sorry, I'm going deep into this as possibly two players who maybe you can push on. But I think the Bristol City fans are a little bit just frustrated at the road bump. But Craig, as you were mentioning, we quite like to go on that journey to, to 100 points in League One and your centre-half scoring 20 goals in a season or what have you. Sorry, Joe, did you want to come back or Craig? Do you want any of that?
And also in terms of Bristol City, I've been to Bristol City a couple of times. I've got a mate who lives that neck of the woods, and for the last two seasons that we were there, we went hospitality, just saying, so, you know, we have a day out and things like that. And it's just a different setup there, just behind the scenes in terms of the fan experience and the hospitality bits and pieces, and you know, their fan bar. You've seen, if you look for one of the Euros or the World Cup explosions when one of the goal goes in, I think one of them's the Box Park down at Croydon. The other one is, there's massive screen in a bar and they see it from the balcony down, that's Bristol City's, you know, fan bar, if you like, as well. So, you know, they've got that infrastructure in place as well. From a fan stroke match day perspective, it's on a different level to what we've got as well. So again, not only on the team, and I appreciate the team may be more immediate, but you've got to hope that these guys know what they're doing in terms of the day-to-day match day experience as well.
Yeah, like Craig, I went to a game at Ashton Gate. I was on a stag do down in Bristol, and I think the Spurs game was on afterwards, and there was a couple of Spurs fans there. So we sort of watched the game, then went into that fan bar sort of, and it was just, you just felt like you're in a stadium that was so far ahead of Portman Road. And it's when you go to these grounds of similar size, dare I say, even Carrow Road, if you're in the main stands there, it makes you realise how dated Portman Road has become and serious investment is required. But just going back to O'Leary, the tweets that I mentioned that Mullet linked, it's basically from the WBA journal saying, interesting to see ex-WBA CEO Mike O'Leary pitch up at ITFC as chairman. Know little about the people he's fronting, but he will be a huge asset in that role. O'Leary was part of the first Peace Board in 2002, effectively replacing John Wyler as CEO, but working in a non-salaried capacity. Mike's has bags of experience in CEO roles, knows his football too. So, again, it's positive to hear, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm just going to bring this one up from Michael, who's 52. Well done for admitting your age, Michael. I've witnessed good times. Just talk about this. I know, and we're talking about... But it is possibly, Craig, a different generation of fans now that maybe 2007, that's a long time ago now, isn't it, that weren't around for this, and they've seen Ipswich finish, you know, in a difficult season, though, with a very high tide on the points totals in the playoffs and losing the playoffs and then drop off. And again, we say this, Craig, with the caveat that obviously things don't always get better. But for fans who are, say, I don't know, you know, in their early teens or whatever, what does this kind of mean?
Well, it's teens upwards to 20-year-olds, isn't it? You know, I've got my little boy, Christ, he's 13, and he had his season ticket, he's had his season ticket 6 years, 7 years, where it happens to be. And he hasn't seen anything. He hasn't really seen any football to enjoy, let alone success. You know, he comes along to the football matches with his mate, and I've got pictures of him just sitting there bored, shitless, watching this football that he's been trotted out. So, you know, and he hasn't watched a minute of football of Ipswich this season. You know, hasn't bothered watching it. I follow. I'm the one that pays for it and watches it, but just I'm on my own. And I say he's probably at the lower end of that age group. But, you know, for anyone, just to feel a little bit of excitement about what could possibly potentially happen, say, maybe not this season, but the summer onwards, I think it's just going to be fascinating. We said at the pod at the weekend, it'd be fascinating to see what Cook does to this club and this squad over the course of the summer. That was before we had this, you know, fall on our lap. So, you know, if this doesn't get people excited about what could potentially happen, then you know, there's no hope.
Just get a couple of comments there from 18-year-olds as well, kind of echoing what you were saying. Right, guys, we are coming towards the end of our hour. Let me just put this up because then we get two from a couple of 26-year-olds there who are saying exactly the same thing. Maybe we're a little
bit... Yeah, me too. Same.
thank you, everybody, for joining. All our watchers are either 26 or 18, or they're not telling the truth. There you go, Jack. So we're going to just go final thoughts for the minute. Thank you, everybody, for joining. While you're still here, please get your final thoughts on the news and your reaction here, and we'll read a few out just before we go. Please, if you're still here, hit that like button, which will draw more people to the stream after the fact. Final thoughts then, Joe, at the end of our conversation, and we'll learn plenty more in the coming weeks.
Just quickly, I've had a message from Rich saying to say that the audio for this is going to go out later today, so people can give it a listen back if they've missed the start of this and or want to rewatch it there. But sort of back to the takeover, my final thoughts are it's a day to look forward, isn't it, for the football club. we know that under Evans we are not going to get where we want to be. We can see all the evidence there, and sadly his ownership has proved to be a wasted 13 years for the club. And it's just like I say, it's just all we've got with us is hope at the moment. We can see some evidence about of what they've done at other clubs, but it's just it can't. I can't say it's not going to get. It can't get any worse, but it's we haven't had any hope for a long time, and now we're starting to get some.
Get your final thoughts in the comments. We'll go to you, Craig.
Yeah, exactly that. Let's look forward now. You know, we've experienced Marcus Evans. Let's just hope that these guys in their mid-20s aren't going to be approaching their 40s in 13 years' time and looking back on this day and thinking, Christ, those idiots saying that this was all going to be roses and you know, promotions galore. It puts us in a much better position than it did previously. You know, as we said, Evans wasn't an intentionally bad owner. He was a hapless owner who just got priced out the market, didn't he? And, you know, if this allows us just to take the first baby step into the Championship and take things from there, then, you know, let's go. Fingers crossed.
My thoughts, personally, I totally echo the cautious optimism attitude of everybody. Yes, of course, there's never any guarantee things are going to get better, but forgive us our optimism. What's the point even following any sport or type of entertainment or venture if you're not going to be optimistic when there's the potential for things to be looking up? Joe, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Joe Fares.
And what is your handle at the moment?
I think I'm Joseph D. Fares III still. People were mocking me over the weekend for still having it, but I said I still had faith, and until it's definitely off, I'm going to keep it. So he who laughs last laughs loudest or longest.
Will you be, needless to say, will you be wearing the frankly outstanding paraphernalia? Are you going to keep that on after we finish? Keep it on, Joe.
No, I think this will be being framed and going up alongside my NHU shirt on the wall.
Tremendous. Craig, where can people find you on Twitter?
I'm at Fims75. We'll get Brett and the guys to sign that, Joe, yeah, when we meet up with them in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, sounds good.
Over a fried chicken supper.
That sounds absolutely tremendous. And yes, of course, favourite chicken, if you're in the Ipswich area, use discount code BM20 for 20% off. Let's give some shout outs here. Charlie, Matt, yeah, be careful. JP Smith on Twitter, Mark Harrison. I think we got all of them. We'll stick a few up over the credits as they roll. Thank you, everybody. You can follow me on Twitter at Benjamin Bloom. I've already managed to get up before 12 a.m. a little compendium. I'm on it, aren't I, Craig? To this over on my YouTube channel, which is Benjamin Bloom Football Channel. And of course, please hit subscribe here on the Blue Monday YouTube. As Joe said, you'll be able to listen to this as audio later on today if you're just joining us now. And we will see you all very, very soon as a new era starts at Ipswich Town. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Say goodbye, Joe.
See you later, guys.
Say goodbye, Craig.
Goodbye. Have a nice day.
Thanks for watching or listening to the Blue Monday podcast. And thanks to those of you who have kindly supported the channel via Acast or YouTube donations. You can follow us at the usual places on social media. And don't forget to subscribe so that you get our new shows first.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.